Welcome to the Island Basketball Podcast, the Pick and Throw Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Matt Moore, I'm in New York.
Are you live from New York?
No. Well, I mean, technically, yes. By the time they click play, no.
No.
From tape delayed.
We were live yesterday. That was exciting.
We were live yesterday. We did like a whole like show.
Yeah, and our producer slash editor, what we call our predator, Sergio, was very excited. He's like, "You guys were so awesome!" And I was like, "It was all right, I guess."
No, what he said was, "Matt, you were so awesome. You killed it. Royce, you were so awesome. You killed it. Zach, your audio was a little messed up, but they tried to fix it."
So it was like a compliment, I guess.
Yeah, it was like a compliment. 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
I have a question for you.
Mm.
So I was listening to the melange of podcasts that you posted last week, and I have this question. Who is a good actor? Because Ryan Gosling and Leonardo DiCaprio are out.
Right.
Who's a modern-day good actor?
I think Leo's decent. I don't think Leo's a bad actor. I think Ryan Gosling's a bad actor.
Okay. By the way, my biggest argument, if you want like a really strong argument for like an example of what Leo can do very, very well, the physical acting in Wolf of Wall Street when he's loaded up on Quaaludes is pretty incredible.
I still haven't seen that movie yet. I need to do that.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. So it's like physical acting, so nobody really like it's not good, like very few people will notice that kind of thing.
Yeah,
because it's usually like the emotional stuff that people get into. Right. But the physical acting was pretty insane for what you have to do in order to simulate what he did.
I love like. My favorite actor is Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Okay.
So Philip Seymour Hoffman is just like, I think he's an incredible actor. Paul Giamatti's an incredible actor. Ed Norton, I think, is very, very good. I think he used to be better. That's the weird thing. Can you get worse as an actor? Is it like sports where you get worse as the years go on? Because some people get better.
I actually would think that it's similar to much like what happens when guys come off of their rookie deal and they get paid.
Yeah.
The money, I think, makes them worse.
Okay.
Like Edward Norton is notorious for being a fantastic actor who no one wants to work with.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a notorious thing.
That's a good call.
I was all like, Philip Seymour Hoffman, he hasn't done anything in years. Well, there's a 2012 The Master, which I thought was fantastic.
Right.
And then he's in both Hunger Games films. So, and he's actually done a few things in between there as well, there, and stuff that's filming now. So, what's your favorite Philip Seymour Hoffman movie?
This is going to be...
Oh, here we go.
My favorite role of his is in Mission Impossible 3. I actually think
he's really good in that.
I actually think he does an amazing bad guy. Like, he was an unbelievable bad guy in that movie. And it's a crap movie, but he actually, I mean, he makes it. Like, he makes anything, any part about that movie good is through him. So that's probably my favorite role, just because it's a little like a really bad, or a really bad team getting lifted up by a good player. I guess he's my Kevin Garnett of the Timberwolves days. Like, just bad teams getting lifted way higher than they should be. So that's probably it. He's fantastic in Capote. But it's also a very annoying performance because that voice is just so awful.
Yeah.
God, what's the kid touching priest movie?
Doubt.
I thought he was fantastic in Doubt.
My favorite of his is actually like he's only in it for like 35 seconds, but his performance in Almost Famous is one of my favorite roles.
Oh, it's so good.
Ever.
Of course I'm home. Of course I'm home. I'm not cool.
Like, I saw that in high school, and almost the line where he says, "Don't worry, you'll meet them all again on their long road to the middle."
Yeah,
is one of my like that. I think about that line pretty much any time that I get frustrated with anybody who criticizes what I do.
Yeah.
Like I'm just like yeah, which is not a very me thing to do. Be like yeah, but
I think Aaron Eckhart is a really good actor, but he's kind of getting into that. Oh, he's going to get paid for a few movies. Like I Frankenstein is. I'm guessing he's not going to move the needle on I Frankenstein. I haven't
Here's
seen it
what's
yet.
Really, I think. Well, one, I think his agent needs to be basically dropped off of a ship.
Right.
like because like he does the Dark Knight, which regardless of your feelings about it is, I guess if such a thing is possible, it was an objectively successful film.
Oh sure, right. Absolutely, and he's good in it.
Right. So if you take that, if you take the fact that he was coming off of that, and then you could tell that he was like, ooh, I'm going to cash in on the action thing.
Yeah.
Because the very next thing he did was Battle Los Angeles.
That's not a good movie.
No.
That's not.
It has such potential, and it is terrible.
Man, remember they were ramming that down our throats with the TNT promos?
Yeah.
That's not a good movie.
Mm. Here's one. Do you realize Philip Seymour Hoffman was in Son of a Woman?
He is.
He's the friend that keeps trying to get Charlie to, not say anything. Philip Seymour Hoffman playing a schmuck for over 20 years. So basketball.
Yeah, basketball's happened.
I want to check in with you on this question because it's becoming a thing. And look, it was going to be a narrative question this season anyway. The Heat were going to struggle because they don't care. One team or another was going to have to be number one. Everyone thought it was going to be the Bulls, myself included. I talked myself into that.
Yeah.
I keep hating myself for not trusting the Pacers. I've done this is 2 years in a row now that I've been like, well, aren't the Pacers the best team? No, they can't be. I know how good they are in the playoffs. I just don't.
Did you not trust them, or did you just think like, oh, if I had to pick a team to be the number one team, it's going to be the Bulls? Like, it's not like if someone said, you know, prediction on January 21st, the Pacers are going to have the best record in the league. It's not like you would have gone, oh, that's ridiculous.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. If it were betting, I didn't bet on them when I knew I should have. That's the way to describe it.
Okay.
I didn't bet against them.
Sure.
I just didn't bet for them. So it's always going to be a thing. The Heat, obviously, like, it's very clear to tell that they don't care. Like, they're not engaged. Wade's taking games off, which is a huge part of their swoon, is I keep being like, wow, they're just not good. And I'm like, well, Wade's not playing. That's a big deal.
Right.
But I said yesterday on the show, on our live show, which you can see on CBSSports.com all this week, I'm really starting to think that the Pacers might just be better. They might be. I'm not saying they are. Even if Miami flips the switch, can the switch that they flip, can that get them enough power to get through? Because I keep looking at it and I'm thinking, you know, I thought James Jones was going to be a huge part of this team because he was going to fill the role that Mike Miller left. I was like, well, they lost Miller, but James Jones can step in.
Sure.
And that's not really happening. And they seem to be really focused on wanting to play, to be ready to play big. Like, they want to have Oden, or possibly if they sign Bynum, to have him ready as well. I know that that's in large part because they want to combat what Indiana does big. The core of my question is, not just possible, is there a decent chance in your head that Indiana might just be better than Miami?
Yes, but I think you can be the better overall team, have home court advantage, and still lose to the best player in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think that, assuming there's not a major injury to one of the Heat players, I'm going to pick them in the series no matter what. No matter who has home court advantage in the series, like, I'm just going to pick them. I already know that. Like, I'm not going to talk myself into the Pacers. And it's not that I don't believe the Pacers can win the series. I'm just going to go with the best player. As long as Wade's healthy, as long as Bosch is healthy, as long as Chalmers and Allen are all there. Like, it's not even I think Greg Oden's going to contribute. Like, I don't. I think that, you know, he might play in that series. Who knows? But I'm just as is, based on the matchups they had last year, based on the team this year, and it's not taken away from the Pacers. They're much better than they were last year. I just think that experience is so valuable in knowing how to do what the Heat do in the playoffs. And, you know, we're seeing them do stuff that they're not even going to try in the playoffs. You know, they have that whole, like, secret game plan. And the Pacers will know what they're doing. It's just, what we're seeing right now is nothing we're going to see in the playoffs, I think.
Here's what's crazy. So they're 29-12, 17 games over 500. They have a 7.5 game lead over Atlanta for the two seed.
Yeah.
If we expect things to keep pace, which you can reasonably, and I think it's like I kind of was waiting for Miami to hit the Jets. Like, I'm still waiting for a run in February or March, because remember the streak last year was February. That was when they pulled it.
Yeah.
So I'm still expecting for them to do that. Last year they were pretty much done competing by the end of March because the streak put them so far ahead. They are 4.5 back of Indiana. And so if we kind of extrapolate this again out, it really looks like Miami's going to get to coast for pretty much the – like from March 20th on. They're probably – the last month of the season, they're not going to have to go full jet.
Right.
Like, it's going to be done. Like, they're going to have the two seed just locked.
Right.
Which is actually better for them than competing for the one.
It's not going to – yeah, it's not going to matter whether they finish, you know, one game out of the top seed or 10 games out of the top seed. Like, that's not going to matter. As long as they're the two seed, they have home court until that series. And then you're saying – you're asking, can the Heat steal a game in Indiana? Well, absolutely. Indiana can also steal a game in Miami. So, really, it's, you know, can the – can the Heat take two games in Indiana without home court advantage? I think they absolutely can. I mean, I don't think there's any question about that. Now, will they? That's, you know, that's up for debate. But in terms of possibilities, like, I don't even know that if it goes to a seventh game, and it's funny, we all just assume, like, oh, seven games. It might not go seven games.
Right.
You know, like, I mean, it's great if Indiana has home court advantage for a seventh game, but it could be over in six. It could be over in five. They could be five really competitive all-time games.
Turns out that fifth game in Miami was a big deal.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you just don't know, you know? So I think to assume it's going to go seven and that the Heat are in trouble because of that is just maybe wishful thinking. Not that the Heat are going to be in trouble, but wishful thinking we're going to get seven games of an awesome series.
The other thing is I'm looking at this, and if you're Miami and Brooklyn's in the seventh spot right now, Brooklyn, Chicago, Atlanta are the only teams looking at this Eastern Conference. I'm dead serious. If Wade is at all compromised, if he's got any soreness whatsoever, they should send him out the entire first round. If they're facing maybe Washington, I like Washington a lot, and Chicago, it's mostly just from the perspective of you don't want to give them hope because they're psychos.
They have Kirk Heinrich and DJ Augustine running the point. I don't think you can give them hope.
But no, that's the thing though, is they don't. They just the rest of those guys are.
No, they can take a game, but there's not enough talent to give them hope to where something happens.
Yeah, but I guess I'm not saying that they're gonna win. I'm thinking about it more from the perspective of if you're gonna sit Wade, do you want to risk this thing going six? Like, do you want to even screw with it? You know,
with no Deng around, I think you do. I think you're fine with it.
So you think it's still okay if Wade's having any sort of issues whatsoever? You think it's still okay to sit him versus Chicago? I could buy into that.
I wouldn't sit the whole series, but I wouldn't feel the need like he has to play.
And it'd be funny if they play him every other game.
Just the home games.
Maybe
he has like a Roger Clemens Houston Astros deal. It's like,
yeah,
hey,
that'd be
stay
great.
Home.
But like if it's Cleveland, who I actually like a lot how they're playing, Charlotte, Detroit, New York, Boston, Toronto, I definitely think they can send him for as much as they want in that first round series.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly they don't have to worry about the first two rounds.
Yeah.
They just don't, and it kind of sucks. But I don't think they're gonna sweep in those.
I'm excited.
Those situations.
I'm excited for the inevitable NBA TV 4-5 matchup.
Oh,
like
that'll be something.
Like I don't think Toronto's gonna maintain, so I think it's gonna be like either what I'm really hoping is that the Pistons can get it together just enough to sneak into the 5 spot, and that Atlanta and Toronto tail off just a little bit.
Just enough to sneak into the 5, they'll be lucky to get the 8.
What I really want is a 4-5 Washington Detroit series, which everyone will not want to watch and will be awful, but I will really enjoy it because John Wall versus Greg Monroe is like my favorite thing on the planet right now.
I mean that's fantastic, but I could just send you YouTube clips to satiate you.
No, but it's like John Wall versus Jennings, and you got KCP versus Beal and Monroe versus Nene Gortat versus Drummond. Like that's a good matchup.
Gortat versus Drummond?
Yeah.
Break out your primetime listings, folks. We've got Gortat versus Drummond tonight.
Ariza, Josh Smith.
That would really pull in the 30,000 Polish viewers the NBA has.
Speaking of the Wizards and their former center, actually, we started about this on Twitter a little bit, and I want to get your thoughts on it. I assume that you're still like you're pretty chill about the Wolves and not freaking out.
It came to a realization the other day. I was writing the recap for their annual loss in Toronto.
That was really good, by the way.
Thank you. I was pretty annoyed. And it's not. It wasn't a. Oh my God, this thing's gloom and doom. It was just a. You're adults. Get your act together. Quit bitching at each other. Quit whining. Quit. You know, like be adults and do your job. Like, there's a certain point where I think like all right, all you guys are in your mid-20s to early 30s, like, you know what your job is, just do it. Quit sniping at each other, quit, you know, having bad chemistry. Like, you like the guys, it's just things get tough, and you start pointing the finger everywhere else, like, just grow up. And I started looking, I was like, all right, so the January schedule hasn't separated them from their issues, and then I was like, oh my god, we're only halfway through the season.
Right.
Like, you still have so much of the season to go, so I'm not worried, but I'm not optimistic anymore. I'm just like, see what happens, you know? Because nobody else, like, I mean, as good as Dallas has been at times, as good as Phoenix has been, you know, Memphis is getting it together, Denver's been streaky, hot and cold, like crazy. Like, I just look at all those teams, I'm like, I don't know that they're better than Minnesota. I don't know that Minnesota's better than them, but it all looks very even to me.
Yeah.
And four games isn't that big of a deal. It's not good. It would be better if they were only one or two games back, but it's not that big of a deal. So, I don't know. I'm fine to let it go. And, you know, if they don't make the playoffs, they don't make the playoffs. Like, I'm sick of worrying about, like, oh my god, what does this mean if they don't make the... If they don't, then get rid of everybody. I don't know. Like, you start over. If something's not working, you start over, and then you try again. Like, whatever. I still think they have a great chance at making the playoffs.
I do too. I genuinely do, because I keep thinking. It's not a great analogy, but this does happen from time to time. So in 2011, the Grizzlies were basically I was frustrated as hell with them. They were coming off some momentum. They should have been way better. They almost made the playoffs the year before. They have all this talent. They've got Zach Randolph. Gasol's coming to his own. You know, Rudy was supposed to have made the leap that season. Conley was actually showing that the extension was worth it, and they were still hovering around 500 in the beginning of January, and I was so frustrated. I was like, this team just does not put it together.
Right.
Now, Gay goes down. That's kind of the X factor here, is that Gay went down, and that changed the dynamic of the team. But Rudy goes down, and instead, I looked at their schedule and was like, well, they're doomed. Like, all their games remaining are against playoff teams. The next night, they went on a back-to-back after losing Gay in the Lakers game. They went on a back-to-back road game versus the Thunder. They go in there, Tony Allen drops 35 points, and they win, and that's the first time that he said grit grind. That was the first time that word was publicly aired, and it, like, of course, went nuts.
Yeah.
Now, that stuff's not going to happen, but it's more the point of they went on a streak that season where they were knocking off good teams consistently. And I always try and make people remember this, because everyone says, well, the games in November don't matter, blah, 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 blah. Like, you know, whatever, it's still early in the season, that wasn't really like a really good win. I'm like, the games in the late are the easier ones to win to me, because half the teams are coasting and half the teams are tanking.
Right.
So that's the entire league. If I didn't have you know, like, a lot of teams are tanking and a lot of teams are coasting, and you can catch teams that are just like if you play the Heat on April 1st, it doesn't matter. Like, they don't care.
Yeah.
At all. So Indiana can, or so Minnesota can go on this run versus good teams. But they're gonna have to find that, you know, whatever those things are that happens when teams click and get together.
Yeah.
The body chemistry and the stuff that all the beat writers are saying about, wow, this locker room sucks right now, that has to be concerning.
Oh yeah, that's legit. Like, that's a legit concern. Like, before there was a concerns about, oh, you know, if Kevin Love's mad, he might leave. Like, okay, then he leaves. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just dead inside since Kevin Garnett didn't work out in Minnesota. Maybe that's all it is. But there's a certain point where I just don't care about a player leaving. Like, you just, okay, there's going to be another good player. You can go get him and you figure it out. Like, that doesn't bother me. But when it definitely seems like you walk in the locker room and there's this eerie silence, and it's not because of a loss, it's because of the way they lost. Like, that's when it starts, like, you start looking around like, okay, that guy doesn't like that guy right now. That guy doesn't like that. And it's not like this horrible land war that you're going to have to, like, fight over the locker room for. It's just like, all right, they need to get over whatever is the problem is. They need to work through it. And that's mostly it. Like, all right, you haven't played up to expectations, you recalibrate, and you figure it out. Like, that's what adults do. That was mainly my whole point of that last, like, rant in my recap.
I wanted to throw this at you, and I expect you to not be receptive for multiple reasons, but I had this idea, and I wanted to throw it past you. So, looking at the numbers of Nikola Pekovic and Kevin Love on the court is horrifying. It's just defensively is just terrifying to me.
Okay.
And I think Pekovic, like, I started watching Pekovic a little bit more because I was like, what is Zach seeing with this guy that I don't? Like, offensively, holy crap, you're right. He is amazing. Like, that meat grinder thing you're talking about is legit. Like, he's incredible offensively.
Yeah.
I feel like they need a rim protector. I really think they need a better rim protector, and I'm not sure that he's ever going to get there.
I don't believe in the whole rim protector thing. I believe that it's a valid thing and that you can use it, but team defense is much more important to me than rim protecting. Rim protecting is nice for when the team defense doesn't work, but for the most part, like, I just, like, cut off the pick and roll in the middle of the floor, rotate, and then you don't have to worry about someone shooting at the rim.
Right.
And all right, now there's a valid question of, all right, can they do that with Pekovic and Love on the court? Well, so far, no. But I still think that that's a doable thing.
I did have this idea, though. Pekovic just signed a deal, so I'm not sure that the other team would be interested. Pekovic and Shabazz for Mecca Okafor and Goodwin works. What if you got the Wizards pick with it?
What if a Mecca Okafor has a neck injury?
I'm saying, but what if he... If he didn't
have the neck injury, I'd be all. I would be fine with that. I honestly would. I would hate to lose Peck, but I would be fine with that. Especially if you're going to throw in a pick. Like, yeah, I would do that. But, I don't know. That's scary with a neck injury.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really scary to me.
I just like the idea of, I was like, man, if you put Okafor and Love next to you, like, that makes sense to me. That's the thing with I found when I watched the Cavs when they beat the Nuggets at home. Was I was watching that team and I was like, this team makes sense for the first time I have seen in years. Like, this makes sense now.
Yeah.
Like, Irving, CJ Miles, Luol Deng, Tristan Thompson, Anderson Varejao. That makes sense. Okay. Yeah. This isn't – and Deion Waiters off the bench is perfect. It's – I've given up on the hope of him ever understanding that he needs to work off ball. And I'm just like, you know what? If he's going to be the sixth man dude, that's fine. Because he's like J.R. Smith, only he defends and drives at the rim and makes shots and isn't terrible.
I'm a little worried about what happens if he is this role and he gets that mentality – or not gets that mentality, furthers that mentality – and then gets a nice contract because of it, that worries me. But I do like him in that role.
Yeah. No, he'll outgrow it, and then things will probably get bad.
And then Chris Waiters will be on the team for no reason with a guaranteed contract?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't know. I like this Cavs team. I think that they might make a playoff run. That loss yesterday versus Dallas was a letdown. But I also keep having to readjust things where it's kind of like we talked about with the Wolves, where it's like, well, the Cavs lost to Dallas. Like, Dallas should be a better team than them.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Dallas isn't a great Western Conference team, but Dallas would be the 3 seed in the East.
Right. Easy. Right. Like, easily. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's the thing is, like, whenever your team loses to a better team, it's not great, but it's not heartbreaking. You know, it's like, okay, they need to figure that out.
I mean, Brooklyn looks like it's figured some stuff out. I don't know. I think they still got a really low ceiling.
I think Brooklyn's fine in terms of the playoff hunt. I actually think they'll win the division.
Yeah, I agree.
Pretty handily too. I think by a couple of games, and I think that the idea of Cleveland for a playoff spot. I think they're going to be in the hunt all season. I guess it comes down to who do you think is the best team out of New York, Cleveland, and Detroit? Because those are probably your three teams fighting at the end of the year for at least the 8th seed, right?
I don't know, man. If the Knicks go off a cliff again, they can't survive it. They can't survive another fall off the cliff. Like, if this is the start of something bad again.
But aren't they so – isn't the East so bad that they're still very much in it, regardless of how many cliffs they keep jumping off like Wile E. Coyote?
No, because I do think – I think we've started to see this a little bit. They're still inconsistent, but the East is getting – some of the East teams are starting to put it together – bit by little bit. Like, the Wizards legitimately look a lot better.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're going to get to the middle of the East playoffs, but we're just talking the 8th seed here.
Right. So, I mean, it is reasonable to say, like, if Detroit, you know, like, you've never trusted Detroit, and if Detroit can't put its pieces together, which is likely because it looks like there's a lot of talk from people of, wow, Mo Cheeks is terrible.
I like Mo Cheeks, but I cannot support the coaching job he's done this year. And maybe that's just him trying to figure out what he's got. I don't know. Yeah.
Charlotte, it's very easy to sell on. Like, they've looked a lot better since MKG got back and they got off the West Coast road trip.
Yeah.
But they're gonna have to play West teams again. Like, you can't right. You don't get to just play the East.
Right.
Chicago's not going anywhere. Like, that's just
no. They're locked in.
Yeah. And then the question is, like, Toronto is the other one that was a fun 2 weeks, but now all of a sudden it's and the beat writers also, who were very much high on the idea of, like, no, like, they're just, you know, it's good. Because I gotta be easy on the beat writers, because I'm always like, why are you buying into this crap idea that this team is decent? And I realized, because I've seen beat writers covering terrible teams, it's not a good job. Like, it's not fun. It's not fun going into a locker room where no one cares and everyone hates each other and everyone's losing every day.
Right.
It's hard to do your job. So I understand that, but it's also, now that they've lost a couple straight, and it's like, uh-oh. You know?
It's, I mean, it is such a weird balance for them. Like, what would you be happier with? Would you be happier with a top 8 pick? Top 7 pick? Would you be happier with an improbable playoff appearance? Like, not improbable. I mean, I guess, I don't know. I don't know if improbable is the right word, because we kind of thought they'd be in the mix anyway this season. And then
it was improbable after their start, you know.
Improbable after their start, and the Rudy Gay trade, I guess, was supposed to signal a slew of trades going through, right, that would just decimate their current roster and set them up for future success. And then Kyle Lowry just decided to give two middle fingers to the entire league and just started playing out of his mind. And now it's like, oh, well, we definitely can't give Kyle Lowry up for anything less than a first-round pick.
You know, I mean, if you're looking at – if you get the 8 seed, if you get the 8 spot in the draft, like, you've got Rodney Hood going there.
Oh, know? I love me some Rodney Hood.
Like, he would be a really good player. Now, I'm not sure he's got kind of the star potential. But you land the 7, and you're talking about Aaron Gordon, and Gordon could be
– yeah. I mean, like, you're talking Aaron Gordon or Marcus Smart or maybe
Dante Exum.
Yeah, maybe Dante Exum falls to 7 or that area, you know, like, or you can move up.
Gary Harris can score.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of options
there. I have to warn people, there is going to be a Ricky Lito level love for Rodney Hood. I am fully on board with this guy.
I'll have to check, but I'm pretty sure you're the hot. You're. I'm not sure whoever. I have to look. Maybe everybody else has him in the top 10. I haven't seen it in a while.
But. I'm atop the leaderboard in both Ricky Lito and Rodney Hood love right now.
Maybe the Mavs will draft him somehow. And
oh my god!
And then you could just become a Mavs fan and let go of all the silly Kevin Love nonsense.
I will. If they draft Rodney Hood, I'm moving over. Mavs fan for life.
Yeah, DX has him at 13. Has him at 13.
Yeah, that's probably more realistic.
But that's okay. Hey, it's okay. Everybody's got preferences. Like, yeah. You know, I'm gonna have Gordon probably 5 because I like him better than Exum or Smart. So,
I like him better than Exum. I just don't know enough about Exum. Like,
it's hard to find any sort of information. Yeah, I don't like.
I'm not down on him. I'm just
away by the limited stuff I've seen or read. But
yeah, he's just a question mark to me, and not a bad question mark. Just a question mark.
So I guess I'll ask you this. Because you get annoyed at my behavior a lot, so you're like a good person.
Now I've perked up.
Yeah. So I want to be fair. I want to be able to make this point, which is, like, I'm willing to say I don't think I ever said, like, automatically. Cause I always say the draft is a crapshoot. I don't think I ever said, like, automatically, like, this draft will absolutely be the best of all time. I was always like,
no.
This could be the best since LeBron. It's looking like it's not. It's looking like – I still feel very – I just feel awesome about it, though. I still love all of really the top 15. I love all of the first round. I just think it's an exceptional draft. Like, I still think that GMs need to be very big on it, and there's a reason that they are. I also love this, that there's all this noise coming out about GMs are kind of souring on this draft. You know what that – like, just to let the listeners know, that's GMs basically trying to fill up that idea so that the value of draft picks go down so they can trade for them.
Yep, that's exactly what I've thought every time. It's like, oh, GMs aren't so hot on this draft. I'm like, really? Because you're trying to get a first-round pick.
Yeah, they do this every single year where they try and lower the value.
Yeah.
And it usually doesn't work, but it's what people do anyway.
Yeah, it's worth a shot.
So how, like, what should my statement be? Like, should I say, like, well, I was wrong to be so hyped about this draft, but I still think it's pretty good? Is that, like, a fair way to put it?
Well, what's funny is, like, I was talking to Gary Parrish on this podcast last week, and he was just phenomenal. Like, that guy can talk.
I want Gary to be my life coach. I love him.
Yeah, that dude's just, he is all kinds of all right. And he was talking, and we were talking about Julius Randle. And it was like, okay, Julius Randle is clearly not on that level of Wiggins and Parker, but he made the comparison, and it popped in my head while he was talking of, you know, what if he's Zach Randolph? Getting Zach Randolph in this draft is not a bad idea. You know, getting that caliber of a player, you can do some very good things with that as a building block. And what's funny is, like, it was this big thing of Wiggins, Parker, Randle. Like, that's going to be, you know, the cream of the crop. And then Randle's not disappointed, but just his star isn't as bright. But Joel Embiid has just shot up the ranks, and it's like now he could be the number one pick. So you still have 3 stars in this draft, right?
Yeah.
And potentially more. Like, Gordon could be huge. Exum could be huge. Randle could still be huge. Like, Marcus Smart could be, you know, right on the border. Like, I think there's still plenty of talent. I think being excited about the caliber of this draft is not a bad thing at all. It might not be, you know, 10 franchise changing players, but it could be six with a lot of really awesome players outside of that.
Right.
I don't think that's a problem. I think maybe the disappointing thing is that James Young at Kentucky hasn't shown us a lot. The Harrison twins really haven't shown us anything. Who's the shooting guard? Aaron?
I can never tell.
I think Aaron's the shooting guard. Whoever the shooting guard is, like, he looks better than the other one, which we thought the other one was going to be better than him.
Right.
You know, especially in this college season. So I think, like, because maybe the Kentucky star isn't as bright, but they still have, you know, five guys in the top 20, most likely. I still think it's going to be a really good draft. Maybe not 2003, but not far off.
Yeah, and it's like if one of these guys winds up being as good as Chris Paul or Kevin Durant, that's still, I mean, Kevin Durant's our unanimous MVP at this point.
Even if you say, you know, two of the top two guys in this draft are going to be as good as Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah.
That's really good. I know we don't like Carmelo anymore as a blogosphere, but that's still a really damn good player to be able to get in a draft.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, I don't think it's the blogosphere anymore. I think it's pretty much everybody soured on Melo and it's very odd to me because I've been so critical of the Knicks and their organization and the way that they built their entire team in terms of, we're going to take this one guy who's an isolation shooter and we're going to basically just do everything to cater to him. And I just think that's a poor approach. But I have, like, if you ask me how Carmelo Anthony is playing outside of the context of the Knicks, I love everything he's doing. I think he's giving good effort on defense. Like, he's attacking the rim. He's not doing the jab step jumper a lot. He's really not.
Yeah.
He's mostly just attacking.
Like, it's he's reckless.
He's been fantastic. I have no complaints about that. Yeah,
I can forgive some bad decisions if the effort is there, you know? Like, I think that team is such a mess that, hell, just go try anything to get it to work if you're Melo, you know?
Yeah.
You're going to get killed anyway. You might as well lead by effort example.
Of the top eight teams in the Western Conference, in terms of playoff spots, who's going to take the biggest drop off in the second half?
I don't even like doubting them at this point, but Phoenix, just because I are we going to get Eric Bledsoe back? And how long can they survive without Eric Bledsoe?
They're going to get him back. He opted for the removal versus the repair, which, I don't know, that may have just been a medical decision, but the result is that he's back sooner. It has more long-term effects, but...
Yeah. Before
we freak out, Chris Paul has it in both knees, so...
Yeah, but Chris Paul isn't predicated on uber athleticism.
That's true.
I mean, it's still, you know, Chris Paul... I think he can survive and still be a really good player, but you're looking at a guy who's looking at a max extension of some sort, or close to it, a max offer in restricted free agency, like... Someone's going to throw a lot of money at him coming off that contract, and I don't know. That just scares me.
Maybe not, though. Maybe, you know, it might be one of those deals. It might be like Curry, where they got the extension done for less based off of the
that's true.
Based off the ankle injury.
If you can get that, that's huge. But, yeah, I wonder how long, you know, the effort is fantastic. They don't quit. You know, the talent is there. The coaching is there. But how long does that last without such an important part of your team?
Yeah.
You know, that, so they would be my guess just because of that fact, but yeah, I mean, it would have to be them or Dallas, right?
Yeah, it had to be them or Dallas. Well, I mean, you can say Portland, but Portland's not going to drop out of the...
Yeah, they dropped to the five or six. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not so bad.
Like, I could see Oklahoma City, Clippers, Houston passing Portland if Portland were to, you know, that defense last night, I think, was kind of an indication of what everyone's kind of been like saying. You know, you have to be concerned about the fact that this team does struggle defensively.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of, well, they're, you know, they're really underrated defensively, and I'm like, no, they're you know, it's okay. Like, Houston's not good either. But
yeah. Oh, hey, we do know something about Denver. Woj just tweeted that Danilo had reconstructive ACL surgery on Tuesday and is done for the year.
Well, that's nice.
So at least they don't have to worry about how to work him back in.
I was talking to one of the guys that works for the team the other day, and I just said, can you explain this team to me, please? Because I don't – I really you know, because they went on that win streak after they basically had a near locker room implosion that was going to result in a lot of badness, a lot of badness. And then they went on, I think, an 8-game winning streak and looked fantastic and were scoring 120 points a game, and then randomly lose in Utah and then come home and the Cavs were.
Yeah, that was
like, I'm fine with whether they're a good team or a bad team.
They're just so weird.
I just don't know. I have no idea what Denver is. And which is probably a problem because this is the team I see the most, and I have no idea. Like, I don't see them daily. I see them on average about twice a week.
Yeah, I mean, they lost 8 straight and then they won 6 out of 7, and I mean, God, they actually kind of have a tricky schedule coming up.
The Gallo thing is actually not bad for multiple reasons. I mean, it's bad for him, and it's bad overall because I hate to see him because he's a fun player. And,
yeah.
One thing, they've really bungled that entire thing, and there's probably going to be a lot of mess about that because there's a lot of unhappiness that I've heard about that how everything went down with team doctors and so forth.
Oh, that's always encouraging.
But the difference is, one, they need to see whether or not what they want to do with Wilson Chandler. The better thing would have been for him to come back so they could move Chandler because he has a lot of value as a $6 million trade chip.
Yes.
But this also means more time for Quincy Miller, which is actually a good thing because they need to see what they have in him because Miller looks legitimately good. I've been really impressed.
I love him. I loved him coming out of high school. I loved him at Baylor. I was dying for the Wolves to figure out a way to get him. And then he just hasn't been any good. Like, he wasn't even good in summer league.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it was this weird thing. And for whatever reason, his talent has clicked. And I don't know if he's just, I mean, it's been years since this happened. But, you know, he was this explosive athlete, had an ACL injury, I believe his senior year of high school. And it was either junior or senior year. And then just, you know, he was good, but he wasn't quite the same. Maybe he's finally over it, and not only over it physically, but mentally. He's confident, and Brian Shaw has gotten something to click with him. But he does. He looks damn good.
He looks older is the thing I keep coming back to is, like, watching him, I keep thinking, like, he just looks like a guy that's kind of coming to himself. He doesn't look like a kid anymore.
Yeah, maybe he just learned young. Maybe he just learned how to play, you know?
You know, and it's not like he hasn't set the world on fire. He had 16 points on the 11th, and, you know, he didn't – let's see. Did he get minutes? He hasn't scored in the last two games, so it's entirely possible he's slipping back. Because that's one of the other thing is Shaw doesn't. There's no consistency to the rotations. What started the whole Andre Miller thing is. There's just you don't know on a nightly basis who's going to play and who's not. He goes. He doesn't seem to like Fournier, but then he plays him extensive minutes, and then he yanks him off for random things. Shaw's also got like a really short leash with everyone except Ty Lawson and Chandler. Those are the only two guys, and Hickson. Anyway,
there's so much more to it than this. But for Miller, his per 36 it's 16.8 rebounds a game. I mean, there's plenty of other stuff that he could bring along with that, but that's a good base.
Yeah,
that's not bad.
What do you think of the MLK games?
I watched Knicks Nets. That was really interesting. It wasn't a good game, but it was interesting. I actually liked that Wizards Sixers game. I went back and kind of watched a little bit of that. That was fun. Pacers Warriors was just, Pacers are a professional basketball team. Just whatever run the Warriors threw at them, they just found a way to stop it with somebody. You know?
Yeah.
I went through a little bit of Lakers Bulls, went through a little bit of Blazers Rockets, but I need to finish that up. I didn't see any of Hawks Heat.
God, Stephen was 9 of 20 and 3 of 11 from 3-point last night.
Hey, Pacers defended better than anybody last 3 years.
If Ethan's right and he does have a reversion to the mean, quote unquote, it's going to be the end of the world. Like he's going to set everything on fire.
That second half of the season will be unreal.
Yeah. I missed the night games. I watched all day and had worked and was running on just a couple hours sleep, and so I bailed to the late games.
East Coast time's got to go. Yeah. I'm here in New York. I'm on the East Coast, and they still have New York on the East Coast. That's why I clarified that. We got back from dinner last night, and it was like 11:30, 11:45. I was like, oh, I'll just see what's on TV or whatever, and went through, and it was like the end of the second quarter for Pacers Warriors, I was like, what is going on? I'm like, all right, there's an hour.
Yeah. I don't like Mountain Time. I lived in Arkansas, Missouri, Texas, so all I've ever known my entire life in terms of on a day-to-day basis was Central Time. I still can't do this. Like, games start at 5 o'clock here, and it's just too early. I don't know how anybody's an NBA fan on the West Coast. Don't know how you possibly live a life where the games start at 4 o'clock.
It's actually quite easy if you don't have a job to go to.
Right.
Because you just watch 4 to 10, and then you have your night.
Yeah, but it screws with dinner. I guess that's the difference. Is like when you have a kid, that's the big problem.
Oh yeah. Oh no, if you have responsibilities, it won't make any sense.
If you don't live life like I do.
Yeah, if you avoided responsibilities your entire life like I do, then you can make it work.
Because it's actually not my kid. My kid's pretty flexible, but my wife, she goes from no, I don't really want to eat at all, and like she never wants to eat, to if you do not feed me, I'm going to swallow your head. I mean, it gets bad. She actually refers to it as hangry. Hungry and angry combined, and she gets that way at 5:30 on the dot. If there's not food on the table, it gets bad. So like when I have night games, I'm always like trying to fix dinner and then trying to make sure I'm ripping video and keeping an eye and making sure nobody's hurt and all these things. So yeah, that's a pain, man.
Yeah.
You want to do games?
Let's do games. Let's do it. Do it. Do it.
Oh, one more thing. I think Dallas might be another team to slip because I just continue to watch that defense and be like, meh. So
it's really bad. I mean, their defense is really bad, but their offense is. Like fifth,
yeah.
They are just a team that where, I mean, this will sound like some pretty good analysis, but it really is just, we just have to score more points than the other team,
right? Which was the Wolves' plan coming in,
right? Yeah, it was their plan. They do that until the last 4 minutes of a game,
right? The Heat are 9.5-point favorites versus the Boston Celtics, who got Rondo back.
These games are sneaky close. I'm gonna go Celtics to cover, Heat to win.
I'm taking Miami. I have to believe Wade plays tonight. They've got to be pissed off and make a statement. Like, they tend to – they're getting wins against teams like this where they blow them out and then they feel better about themselves without actually fixing anything. So
actually, let me change – I would like to change to the Heat because the Celtics traded away Jordan Crawford. I think that's a curse. Look what happened to the Wizards. They traded him away and Emeka Okafor got a neck injury.
Aren't the Warriors at like 0-3 since the trade?
I think they are. Which is something I haven't figured out how to justify yet.
How to rationalize yet. They're not giving him enough time.
That's the thing. That's what it is. He doesn't have enough control of the team.
He needs to start and Clay needs to come off the bench.
Or just trade Curry. Give good Crawford the ball.
I almost spit Gatorade all over my computer when he said that. The Nets are on a back-to-back. They're at home facing the Magic.
I will be there.
Hey,
I will be Brooklyn. In attendance.
Brooklyn.
Not covering the game, but I will be in Brooklyn, the Park Slope area. I'll be doing it all.
Will you please write something for CBS about the experience of going to Barclays?
Actually, I was planning on that. Cool. Just because everyone I talk to, they're like, yeah, it's packed in there, but no one does anything.
It's just like a hipster party. Like everyone just kind of standing around.
Everyone's waiting for somebody else to clap, and it right? just never happens. I'll go. I guess I'll go Brooklyn.
Yeah, I'm going Brooklyn.
That's right. A lot of points, but Orlando's not good.
Basically, without Vucevic, I think the Magic are crap. So
yeah,
I mean they're okay. They're fun. They're fun crap. Like Aaron Fall is fun to watch, but and I actually don't mind Glenn Davis.
No, I very fun. Much enjoy shooting guards posting up from 20 feet. So Aaron Fall is very fun to watch.
The Kings are on the road. The Pelicans are on a back to back. The Pelicans are at home, and the Kings are giving a point.
That's odd. I don't know what to do with this injured Pelicans team.
Yeah, Memphis just didn't have it yesterday. Yeah. That was
And maybe that's not gonna be the case tonight against the Kings, but maybe that's kinda what it is. It's just like we don't have to try because they've got so many injuries. And then they can still surprise you because they're an NBA team and they have Anthony Davis who's very good.
Austin Rivers was 4 of 7 for 9 points yesterday.
Did somebody Instagram that?
Yeah, I said Austin Rivers is 4 of 7 for 9 points. Write this down right now so I can remember it. And a kid tweeted back to me. He'd written it on his arm in Sharpie. I was like, sometimes you worry you have too much power. Because one guy responded, if Anthony Bennett ever has 10 points in a game, I will get that tattooed on my forehead. And I favorited it.
Uh-oh.
So I'm rooting the rest of the season for
ever
for Bennett to get 10 points.
Ever in a game or just this season?
I don't know. I think it was this season.
Okay. That's dangerous.
Because people thought I was a bully before. If he has 10 points, I'm pressuring that dude into doing it.
Well, he only has 75 on the season.
No, the odds are not good. considering he's been objectively described through PER as the worst number one pick of all time.
He got 9 once this year in a 30 point loss to the Spurs in only 12 minutes.
I just need the Cavs to have a really bad game or a really good one.
He also had 5 turnovers in that game in 12 minutes.
Shh, that's not the point. Anyway, I've got the Kings.
Yeah, I'll go Kings. I don't know what to do with the Pelicans.
They've been really decent. They get blown out by good teams and separate in the second half, but the Pelicans are not that team. So
yeah.
Although, man, Anthony Davis, 27, 10, 2, 4, 4 last night.
Very good.
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
I want the entire Western – basically at this point, because all the guards are injured, I want the Western Conference All-Stars to be Stephen Curry and like 8 forwards.
Why not? We've got the forwards.
Yeah. And get Mike Conley in there too just because –
I didn't have him on during our show yesterday. I did an All-Star segment and I didn't have him in there, but he's like one of my bubble guys. And Ken Berger said, like, you know, the only one I disagree with, I think Conley should get in, and I agree. Like, if Conley makes it, I'm more than happy with that because he's definitely earned it. I said the problem is there's 16 guys that deserve 12 spots.
There are very few guys that you look at and go, that guy does not deserve to get into All-Star.
Right.
Unless you're a Warriors fan last year with David Lee, apparently.
No, it was David Lee's an All-Star. What? Steph Curry's not? David Lee does not deserve to be an All-Star.
Exactly. Okay, Portland on a back-to-back. Man, Portland's got a road back-to-back. A road back-to-back. They face Houston last night, get clocked, and then now they're on the road in Oklahoma City to face KD.
Ooh. What's the line?
6.5.
Thunder getting six? Giving?
Thunder are favored by 6.5.
Ooh, I like Portland to cover.
Ooh.
I don't know who wins, but I like Portland to cover. I think that's a close game.
Do you remember the last time? Well, I guess you do remember the last time that the Blazers were on a back-to-back on the road facing a team with a high offensive energy.
They did. I mean, I think the Wolves still ended up winning that by 11.
Yeah.
But it got close. It got to down to like 5 with like 4 minutes left.
It'll be interesting to see what the reaction is if Portland doesn't win this game. That will be kind of an interesting reaction.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine it's going to be a lot of C. Now the better teams are knocking them around.
Because they're still 7-3. They fall to 6-4 in their last 10, I think.
Yeah.
With that loss, and it'd be 2 in a row. So. Yeah. We'll see. And then your Timberwolves are on the road tonight. They're at Utah. They're only giving 4.
Game of the night. Not really.
It's like in the Minneapolis area?
This will be... arguably one of the top 2 games in Salt Lake City tonight. I guarantee that. Top 2 for sure.
Right.
I mean, the Wolves just destroyed them in Minnesota, but the Jazz also shot like 28%, which probably isn't going to happen again. I think the Wolves cover, but it would not shock me if Utah made this game and even won.
I've got the Wolves. I just, you know...
Regardless of what the outcome of this game is, the Jazz will be at least 500 or better in their last 20 games after this game.
Wow,
that's pretty good. That's pretty good for a team that looked historically awful to start the season.
Good for them.
Yeah, it is good for them.
And the Bucks, meanwhile, somehow look worse with every game.
Oh my god. Yeah, no, I agree. Like the Wolves, you just gotta figure. Yeah, eventually it'll happen.
Somebody was trying to argue with me that the Sixers are not considerably like they it was not fair that the Bucks got an F- and the Sixers got like a C+.
Wasn't it all relative to expectations?
Yeah, that's what I said.
I mean, the Sixers are supposed to be
the fact that, like, well, also it's like I can watch the Sixers and not throw up.
There is almost no redeeming quality in watching the Bucks, and I love John Henson. I still love watching Larry Sanders, even though he's kind of a prick. Giannis Alphabet Hands, as I saw somebody call him on Twitter. He's fun to watch in limited minutes because, you know, he's still not getting a ton of minutes. But, I mean, even with those guys that I enjoy watching, I enjoy watching Luke Ridnour, I still just don't want to watch his team.
So I had friends over the other night. This is not Bucks related, so I'm switching topics. So we had friends over the other night, and I should change that. My wife had her friends over the other night, because I don't know anybody, but I don't leave my house, so it's hard to make friends here.
I just like the idea of you like spinning around in a chair saying hello and spinning back around to where nobody can see you.
Right. Hello. So we had friends over there. It was fun. It was a good time. And it's like a group of literature, grad student literature people, and mostly girls, a few guys. The one guy was a Bulls fan, so we talked about that, and I gave him a beer because that was sad. Gave him the free Darko books. It was a good time. But I'm trying to figure out like the music. And do you ever have the situations where you've got a bunch of new people in your house, and you're trying to establish what I should put on, and you're trying to determine what's going to be offensive versus like what people are going to enjoy and what fits the right mood?
Yep.
Because I had like this 10-minute debate in my head over putting Yeezus on. It's like
Yeezus is probably a little intense for.
Yeah, that's what I thought, and I was like, well, maybe I should put one of the. And then I was like, well, if somebody really hates Kanye, I probably shouldn't go down that road. Yeah. So like instead, like I put on Tegan and Sarah, and then I'm like, am I being stereotypical by playing Tegan and Sarah for?
I think you are. I think you are.
Yeah.
I always go.
The best part was when I put on REM, and like everyone went, yeah, and I was like, okay, all right.
It's all right. We've established a baseline.
Like this is who people are. Got it.
I think in that situation, I would always go, like, new people and stuff, like, you throw on some kind of Al Green Pandora station, you can't go wrong.
The other thing I have to ask you is this. This is, like, a very serious thing in my household. Like, my marriage is basically hinging on this.
Uh-oh. I don't know that you want to come to me for this.
No, that'd be perfect. Okay. So, last year, I was really, I get really burned down in March and April, and I delayed taking some time off in March for a couple of reasons. And in April, I was like, all right, I need to take a few days before the playoffs start. So, I started, like, my sabbatical. Turned off Twitter. I didn't get on it. You know, was reading books and watching movies. And my first day, I was like, it was like a mat day. And I was like, all right, I'm going to go get a burrito, and I'm going to watch, like, West Wing, and that's what I'm going to do. And that's, like, two of my favorite things in the world. So, I got a burrito. And I decided that I was going to take a nap immediately afterwards. So I ate the burrito in bed.
Okay.
Now, I have to tell you, eating a burrito and then immediately taking a nap was by far and away one of the most amazing experiences of my life. Like, I'm never going to forget that. And
all right.
And when my wife found out about it, I was trying to explain, like, it was like I had defecated on the nicest thing she'd ever owned. I mean, it was like she caught me watching some sort of horrific clown porn. It was a nightmare.
As opposed to the tastefully done clown porn?
Exactly. Okay.
And by the way, I don't know that I've expected to say a lot of things on this podcast, but I don't know that the phrase tastefully done clown porn has ever come across my mind.
So, since then, like she's repeatedly says this whenever I get a burrito. She's like, yeah, go get a burrito. Don't eat in bed. she's like, if you do that again, we're getting a divorce. Like she's dead serious about this. This is like a major deal. She says that I have desecrated the sanctity of like our marriage by eating a burrito in bed.
All right.
What are your feelings on the subject?
I will say this. There is the Seinfeld episode where George tries to eat while having sex in bed, right?
Right.
And that's taking it too far.
Absolutely.
As long as there's nothing pornographic involved with the food. Yeah, you should. I mean, what's the difference between that and, like, being served breakfast in bed?
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I'm team burrito in bed.
Yeah.
And thank you. And when you're tucking a child, like, I've got nieces I've tucked into bed and, you know, when watching them and stuff, like, you're always supposed to, like, you wrap them up in a blanket like a burrito or whatever the crap that saying is. But, like, burritos are made for bed. The burritos are a bed for food. They're a bed for ingredients. Yes.
Exactly.
No, yeah, no, this is team burrito in bed.
Good.
Start that hashtag.
All right. Good. I can fight back now. I have a backup, so. That's not how marriage works at all.
We'll no, make sure that you have a place lined up for when she divorces you.
Okay, man. Well, hey, enjoy New York. Enjoy the Nets game.
I will. We'll talk tomorrow or Thursday or something. Whenever you're ready.
All right. Thanks, Zach.
Thanks, Matt.